From Los Angeles, California, here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, and other organizations for the purpose of improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. This seminar is entitled, Relax and Enjoy Here and Now. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about the movement.
When we enter into those relationships in this world that deal with other physical bodies, we must enter into it as though we're walking on eggshells. And that one who assumes the holier-than-thou attitude is cursed by their own action. And at that point, it's God doing it to God, all right. But let me tell you, there's a lot of gods out there doing it to a lot of gods. And one of them says, God damn it. That's the one that's doing it to you. The God known as damn it. The one we work with is the one known as love. And when we enter into love with another person, and we enter into understanding, and we enter into that relationship of upliftment without attempting to teach them of their follies, or to point out their errors, or show them how weak they are, and how inadequate, and how incomplete, how could you ever love a baby who is so inadequate and incomplete and so not all there? How could you possibly love them? And yet that child loves you, knowing full well that you've blown your lifetime. And they're coming up just asking one simple thing, give me a straight shot at it. Just give me a straight shot. And I hold youngsters, and they talk to me. And they talk to me in some of the most dynamic terms, just absolute simplicity. And they'll put their arms around me, and their heart just speaks. And it doesn't say great big vocabulary words. It just stands there as this dynamic form of love and just says you can enter into it. And to get into that, boy, I just run purification on me just in case something creeped in. I run that so fast. And if it meant go shower before I would pick up the child, I would go shower first. And if it meant down on my knees praying to God, I would do that first. That simplicity of the childlike life is next to godliness. And when we get older, we start sophisticating our life, and we run out the vocabulary words and snow people, and then we feel superior on the way to hell. I have a hard time understanding that, but I see it. And then when we feel sad that we're growing up, we really should feel sad if that's the way we're growing up. I should say groaning up. Often I've looked in the mirror and I said, oh, Lord, you know, it's really too bad that you're getting older. Because, you know, every day these people around you are teaching more and more how to withdraw from contact with them. And I remember at one time in this movement, when there were just a small group of us, I think sometimes there were 11, 12, or 13, and we were sitting in the house, and the love, the rapport, the openness, it was just so simply there. And I couldn't drive home. I'll never forget this because I would get in the car and I would pass into another world. It's called dead. And we'd be going along really fine. And I would, all of a sudden, she would hit these chuck holes in the road. They were big ones. You'd go, hum, hum. And I thought, well, there went the springs. They went this. They went that. My back, my neck. And I'd get up and I'd lean forward and look in the rear mirror and look out and I could see the chuck holes in the road. And after about 14 times of this, I said, don't you realize that you're hitting those every time? I don't quite remember her response, but I think it was something like, it takes a good driver to hit those every time. And you know, the thing of it is, she knew she didn't know what lane it was in. And she would always maneuver the lane she thought it was in to get out of that lane, because that was when they had the chuck holes, to get in the lane where the chuck holes were. I was going to diagram them for her. Here reside the chuck holes. But I thought one night I would fix her. I would give her the full height of awareness. This was going to be enlightenment. Illumination's when you're totally. Enlightenment's when you have one area that you're really sharp in. You're like picking your nose or something like that. The nitty-gritty, you know, or you walk around with your finger in your ear. But we were coming down the road, and we were coming close to the spot where the chuck holes, and it had been raining. But I remembered them because my body knew just how far down the road to go before the chuck holes. It was really conditioned. And as we were maybe 5 or 10 minutes from the area, I just sort of opened my eyes and looked around, and she was busy, lost in thought, going down the road, driving. We used to listen to Camelot. I think that was it. And as we go along, I just turned to her, and I got really ready. Now, don't jump when I do this. I got a great big breath, you know, and I turned around, I said, "Whoa!" And she turned around, "Whoa!" And I just went white, clear down to my toes. You know, my heart's going, ka-dum, 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 ka-dum. I was up here, ka-dum, 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 ka-dum. You know, trying to swallow, get it down. But her reflexes were so fast that I got enlightened real fast. By the time I got thoroughly settled down, she hit the chuck holes. It became quite obvious to me that I wasn't going to be able to teach her anything about that. So we stopped doing seminars up there. If it doesn't work for you, folks, you get a chance to move. Take the chance, move. Otherwise, you get the chuck holes. I should have realized after the first 10 that she had it down. But you always have hope. You always have that thing inside of you that says, maybe, maybe, they'll do something else. If they did, I'd gone crazy. What to do, Mr. Chuck Holes? I hit him inside of me. You should have hit him out there. Either way, you know, we're going to do it. It's either going to be out there or it's going to be in here. But if there's chuck holes, and we've had that experience, friends, we're going to be having it inside of us. The only thing we could do after that was laugh about it like we've been doing tonight. But the time it wasn't all that funny, because it was like, those tires aren't that good. And I know if it had a flat tire, I would immediately have passed out into God consciousness, and she would have had to change it. She never worked me. I don't know if that would have happened. Because my point of view, very simply, would have been, you earned it, you got it. And you can't say I didn't tell you over and over and over until I had her programmed into the chuck holes. Now, I'm not surprised that she might not just go up there some while just to hit those to feel if they're still there. And if they are, then we should write a letter to the California road people. But what we're talking about is that very thing that we fear will come upon us. If it doesn't come upon us, we see to it. We'll actually direct people into it. And then when they do it, we hit them. We hit them. We pound on them. Why do we want to say, gee, that's really interesting. Maybe we could go down the coast route next time instead of down this super highway. Maybe the point of view is, let's stop earlier and trade places and let me drive into the chuck holes. Let's modify something, because there's a prior condition that we have left to enter into this condition of teaching that is not working, that is becoming disastrous. Of course, I could sit and feel very good about women drivers. I could have done a whole number on them. What good would that have done me to justify myself of her inadequacies when all along I'd still be complaining because she hit the chuck hole? But once you find that place inside of you that everything's a chuck hole, it doesn't matter. Well, if you hit one chuck hole, you've hit them all. There's no way you can hit them all, so go ahead and try. Some people will. Some people will. They're fools. Take it from me, there's no way you can hit them all. There's no way. There's nothing you can do in any situation with an individual that will do anything for them short of loving them completely. Later on, I marveled that the way she could hit those chuck holes and the car's wheels would not go out of alignment. And I marveled that she didn't react and run the car into a barrier to some other place. All of a sudden, I realized I don't have to be concerned about what this lady drives. She can drive me to the place where I'm going to be, and I'm going to be safe, and I let it go. From that day on, it was fine. As I know, if there's a chuck hole, she'll find it. I don't have to look for them at all. I sit back totally relaxed, very patient. And I relax, but I don't say anything to her about it. I just love her. See, that's the big key. When they're against you and the trials and the tribulations, it's very easy to give trial and tribulation back, but that's just directing them to the next place of trial and tribulation. And then when they do it to you, don't be surprised. You're pointing it out to them. Then when it happens, you say, see, I told you so. It's like, yeah, and you created it, and you've nailed me to it, and we're always going to have it. Why didn't you tell me something else? Why didn't you say, gee, it's okay. You're more valuable than the tires. You're more valuable than the money. You're more valuable than all these other things. Because why? You are. You are more valuable. And then focus upon that that is the love. It's present. It doesn't mean that all the time it's easy. I wouldn't want to mislead you into that. Let me mislead you into the love. Let me do that. That would be really fine with me. But even that I have to say, but check it out yourself. Because the teacher is easily known by love. And that love resides in your heart. When you want access to me, go into your heart. If you're going to call me up to manipulate my mind or my emotions, don't bother me. I can do that for myself. If you want to write me a letter explaining all the disastrous points of view against you, please write me the letter. Up to this point, I've been reading all of them. I don't know if I'll guarantee that tomorrow. But some people get surprised when they write a letter and they say, I'll be surprised if you've read this far. And I write, I've read this far, and I send it back to them. Or they'll meander off. They say, I'm just really just meandering. I say, all right, yeah, I know. I wish you'd get to the point more often in your letters. But only when they say it, what they're doing, do I agree with them. And that's why you don't get a lot of letters back from me telling you how to do this and how to do that and why you should do this and why you should do that. It's sufficient to me that you have released it to me. It's sufficient. It should be sufficient to you that you have sent that and you release it. And when you do, I can handle it. Oh, believe me, I can handle it. There's ample proof about that. But it's awful hard when we keep seesawing back and forth of you trying to give it, me trying to take it, and you won't let go, and you keep pulling me off balance. I say, get out of here. It's easy to get anybody off balance. If you want me to have it, sit it down and walk away, and then I'll pick it up. And you have to have the wit to let it go. What does that mean when you let it go? Does that mean you're no longer responsible? No, it doesn't mean that. It means you have now let go the solution to it. You're no longer responsible for the solution. You're just responsible to go through it. And I'll solve it for you. And all I say is be patient and relax until I can mix the ingredients. It takes a little time. Some of the work that I have to do can't be done strictly from the soul or the God or the spiritual level. I have to come down into the mental and the emotional. And some of it I have to come down into the physical. But when I do, you can bet we're doing initiations. Or we're blessing a child. Or we're going to scratch somebody's back. Those are important. Or to feed somebody. But I don't have to sit and listen to how somebody got all your money from you because you weren't watching what you were doing, or they took your food and threw it over when you weren't watching, or they wrecked your car because you left a key in it. It's done, it's past. It's done, it's past. Let's go from here. But there is this thing on the planet that's called integrity. It's lacking. It's lacking. The integrity of that that is correctly mine is correctly mine, and that that is not correctly mine is not mine, and I do not have to enter into any relationship to prove it. It just is what it is. If I have to enter into a teaching relationship to show you what's mine, it's never been mine, and it's never going to be mine, and I'm going to make a fool out of myself in front of you any second. That that's mine and that that's yours is the air. And we don't have to be concerned about it. And the sun. And love. That love that's in your heart. Who can take it away? Only that one who can go into your heart. And how do they do that? You either create it, you allow it, or you promote it. And when it happens, eat it. It's yum, yum, snap, crack, pop. It's breakfast food, dinner food, and any other kind of food. It's there for you. You see, we're so busy trying to manipulate people's bodies around so we feel superior that we find out that all we are garbage collectors. Those physical bodies are walking around sewers. They're full of disease, decay. And then we're going to try to own them. And to prove that, we're going to mess up their minds and their emotions and mess around with their psyche for whose glory? God's glory? For your own, and you get it. And you get to be the king of those kingdoms, and you get to stay there, and you get to maintain them, and that's hell. We can let it go. We can let it go. But that takes an inner knowing. An inner knowing. And we must practice going into that inner place where that knowing is found and contact that. Then it will produce phenomena for you like you can't believe. It'll make you feel like you are the local avatar. It'll make you feel like what you do is perfect. And that you can do no wrong. Watch it. Because somebody else down there is feeling the same thing, and you're going to collide with them, and they're going to rub your nose till it's bloody. Because at that level, it's the power makes the right. And that power here is law. The law. And so we do all things legally. We do all things according to law. And we fulfill the law. And when it doesn't work, we change the law. That we may be freer in our expressions with each other. But have you ever stopped to realize that those laws are made because people are attempting to take advantage of other people? They forget the spiritual form that they are, and they enter into their greed. They enter into their pattern that we call ripping people off. But at the same time, friends, we are either allowing it, creating it, or promoting it. And what can we do? Be patient and relax. Be patient and relax. If we, honest to God, could understand that concept, relax, and let the body relax, illness would vacate. But we'd have to be relaxed long enough, we'd have to be patient, until it completely left. But we'd get so impatient, we'd jump up and say, I want it out of there. It's like, uh-oh, you tied down two more. Now it's not just relax, it's called relax, 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 relax. A long string of them. And I call this level here a lot of things. I call it the schoolroom. And I said a lot of things to learn here. See, in the minds and the emotions, we can have things real fast. This level is called patience. And the thing that we enter into it in order to gain is impatience. And we use worry, and we use anxiety and depression as our tools to gain patience. Doesn't work. The first you have to find out is that worry doesn't do it. Greed doesn't do it. You have to find out all the things that don't do it. And once you've identified them, you put them aside, then you say, well, what does it? We say, patience. Why? Because you're here dealing with time. And the way you beat time is through patience. And that patience allows you to lift above through relaxation and observe the spectrum of life. And in that moment, you are in the consciousness called God or love, and there is no time. And there is only infinity, which is patience. See, it's forever. We have forever. We say, well, how does procrastination fit in there? According to time. We say, well, if I don't get up and go do it, it'll never get done. That's probably true. Go ahead and go do that. Are you relaxed? No, I'm uptight. Relax. Well, I should have been there 10 minutes ago. Patience. It's going to take you 10 minutes if you leave now. Relax. Take that 10-minute walk in relaxation. Or you can take it real fast, uptight, and when you get there, you'll still be late. But you'll be uptight late. You'll be miserable late. You'll be late late. And you're going to tell everybody about it. And you're going to be chewing your guts into fiddle strings. And then let's see what kind of a tune you play. People say, hurry. I say, that's not a hurry. I'm getting in my car now, and I'm going. And if you're going, you are going to have to enter into impatience because I'm leaving now. And that means you better get up and get going when I get going because I'm leaving. And if they want to wait, it's like, oh, fine, you'll be patient till I get back later on. And if you're not, then you can do whatever you want to do because you can't manipulate me. And if you want to find me, just look in your heart. You want to communicate? Just look in your heart. But if you come in and try to play an ego trip on me or manipulate me, I'll point to the door. But if you come to me in love, the door opens. And it's like, sure. You want to eat? I'll cook for you. I'll feed you. Yes, I'll do those things. In love, all things are being done. All we do is walk through them in this physical world. We just walk through them. If we find ourselves sitting down too long before we get to it, then we say, yes, it's patience, but you went beyond patience. You went beyond that into anxiety. Now you've got to really gun your motor to make up for lost time, and there's no way you can make up lost time. And to justify it, you're going to martyr yourself inside and berate yourself for false dealings and shortcomings. And what good is that going to do? No good. None. You might as well say, hey, it's gone. It's over. It's past. Here and now is the place to be. Right here, right now. And I think I'll just relax and enjoy now. Enjoy here, this moment. But as soon as we start furrowing the brows and we start becoming concerned, I tell people, you're going to split your brains in half. By frowning yourself, it's focusing too much. You're focusing down too much. You're trying to get too much. You're trying to get more than what is there. Relax. Let what is going to get you, get you. Let that is for you be for you. Then when you take it, you can take it gracefully. You won't be uptight. You won't be the fool. You'll say, oh, that's mine? Thank you. And you let them put it in your hand. And when they let go, then you can close your hand. But up to that point, it's not yours. And it's never going to be yours, really. It'll just be yours for now to utilize. Refine it, make it better, give it to someone else. That giving, that sharing, is part of this action here. That demonstrating, that loving. But do not take on the role of the teacher in order to manipulate somebody out of your lack. Out of your misunderstanding, you want them to understand. Out of your lack, you want them to be broke. Let them be what they are. Let them do what they want to do. Let them go where they go. And you gain understanding. Let them be free. Let them love you that they have met you. Don't think that somebody's relationship with you is such that they must learn a certain thing or they must sit a certain way. But people do this. Let them do any way they can do. It's very, very important that we allow people their own psychic space. Very important. Even a youngster, if you cut them too close, they'll start yelling. They'll start fussing. It's like, you've not only overwhelmed me physically, but you're smother loving me. I don't mean over-mothering type of smothering. It's too much. And so when it pushes from us, it says, give me my space that I may stand. And when we see the youngster standing up, something inside of us stands up. When we come to relate to someone, let's keep a few cardinal principles in front of us. One is that is us appearing to that form. I must take care of that. The other one is allow that form to be. Allow that form to express. Another one is do not set the standards of the world out of an inferior form, which is the physical body or the emotions or the mind. Let spirit set the form and then lift into spirit to see what that form is. You'll be happier. You'll be freer. And not only that, you'll be given happiness and freedom. And that doesn't mean to be gushing on them. It doesn't mean that. It just means being free. Berush Be'Shem.
John Rogers' closing words were Berush Be'Shem, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.